Session number 21112, Reel 4.
Robert Lockyer, Reel 4.
All right, then. Anyway, we... let's see, well, how did we get down to...
Middle
and on sea there. Well, then we had to go into, eventually, while we were at Middleton on sea, the invasion started. And then we were moved into some holding area, concentration camp, we called it, near Gosport, not far from Gosport. And we had we were supposed to go over D+6, and of course through the weather being like it was, we didn't go over to D+20.
Oh right.
And we were in this blooming old concentration camp all this time, ready to move at any minute, you know.
Yeah. So how did you get over to France?
Then we went over on one of them tank landing craft.
Mm. Where did you get on it?
At Gosport.
Gosport, right.
And I still got the list of all the fitters and that had to be on this thing.
Yeah.
And we had I think we had another WO warrant officer who was in charge of an LAD. He was going over at the same time, and he was on our same tank landing craft with two or three blokes, and we went down in the engine room that night, and looking at the engine, and the bloke down there said, he said, "Oh, you better have a drop of rum before you go up." So I said, "Yeah, all right." I said, "My wedding anniversary." So he said, "Right," he said. So we stopped there till, I don't know, it was dark when we got up on the deck. And the boat was on the move then.
Mm-hmm.
And we were going to sleep in at the back of the boat on some camouflage nets down and underneath there.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to walk all along this catwalk, you know, to get down there. And I always remember the battleship Remilies.
Mm-hmm.
We passed that as we went by, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we got down in there, and of course, that was it. I never heard a thing till we got over the other side.
So what time of day did you go into land?
In the morning.
Early morning?
Yeah, the next morning. We got with the Errol Manchies there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Gold Beach.
Yeah.
And
so what equipment had you taken with you?
Well, we had our trucks. We had one truck, I think it was, and I remember we had a couple of trucks and all the personnel, the workshop personnel, you see. I mean, I got the list of what we had to take on that land in question in this book here somewhere.
Oh, right, that might be quite interesting.
Yeah, it's that top secret thing I was showing you.
Oh, yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. So you kept everything at the time, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't throw things away.
Well, no, because I don't know why I kept it, to be quite honest with it. I thought it might come in handy, I suppose. But anyway, when we got over the other side, as I say, we come up off the ramp and up over the onto the land, and then we had to de-waterproof the vehicles, of course, because they were all there, didn't they?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we... actually, on that one that we were on, that was the other warrant officer, that was our list, the one that's coming up here. There's a double row of them there somewhere.
Mm.
Yeah, that's right. But anyway...
Can you tell us what sorts of things you took with you?
No, all we had was one officer, one warrant officer, one staff sergeant, and rank and file was 32, total other rank 36, total other rank 35, so we had about 100 and some odd there. And then there was this other sergeant, this other staff sergeant with his lot on the same boat, you see.
Right.
And he had a truck, I can't remember what it was, but they were all loaded on there.
So you had lots of tools and...
Oh yeah, you see what happened, the RASC moved all the stuff over.
Right, okay.
And we'd picked it up over the other side, when we got over the other side.
Right. So when you landed on the beach, what did you immediately do?
We had to move up off the beach, up near, not all that far from Bayo, and de-waterproof the vehicles, you see. And of course, because they were all covered in this stuff to stop them getting water in them. And while they were doing that, I said to old Mandela, our captain workshop, I said, let's go over and have a word with old Jackson, you know, the bloke that had come over with us, this staff sergeant, this WO2. So he said, so when we was walking across this field, you see, old Mundilly always used to have his hands in his pockets and his old pipe going marching across. And right in the middle of this film was a piece like that, all earth, you see, and he was just going to step on it. I said, mining like that. He jumped out of his skin, he called me everything under the sun.
Was it a mine? No.
I only did it, just to wake him up, sort of thing.
So you were part of the 42nd Division now?
No. We were an independent workshop at that time.
Yeah.
823 Armored Troops Workshop. That's what we were. 823 Armored Troops Workshop.
Right.
And of course, all the equipment, we had the workshop equipment, which was a damn great crane, something like that archway there, a hell of a thing for the vehicles to run under.
Yeah.
Then we had to build that over the other side, supposed
right.
to do.
Yeah. Was it on the back of a lorry? Or?
Well, the RASC had just dumped it in the field over there, you see. They took it all over and dumped it. And there was a crack detector and all these tools and God knows what, welding equipment and everything you can think of. So the thing that made our workshop was a Ward Le France recovery wagon.
Oh, nice.
A Ward Le France, which is an American thing.
Right.
And
where
because we
that?
Had a, what happened was when we were in the concentration camp, all the vehicles was in a lane up alongside this place, and every day they had to go up and make sure they'd start up, you see. And they went up there one day, and our Scammel recovery wagon wouldn't start. So they said, right, leave it, forget it. And they sent down this new Ward Le France in place of it. And that absolutely made our workshop.
Really?
So I said to this Captain Mandela, I said, look, I said, it's a waste of time taking this blooming gantry with us, because I said, we should never be able to build the thing up and work at the same time. And I said, we got this new Ward Le France, so I said, we should be made. So he said, right, we'll leave it, and we dumped it. And I said, as regards a crack detector, I said, who the hell wants a crack detector in a field and in this sort of job? So we left that as well in this field. I don't know what happened to it. We never bothered to take it anyway. And we finished up, instead of with the empty truck we had, we got hold of a French piano and put that on board, because we had some drums with us, you see.
Really?
So we got this piano on board and took that on instead.
So you were a musical lot, weren't you?
Well, it was a question, you never knew what you wanted, sort of thing, you know.
Yeah.
So we had this piano, and we had this, they had the drums, so we were all right. And then we, as I say, then we had, that night, we had to move out on the road down, and we moved past Bayo. We went down this road, and I knew Tilly hadn't been taken, and I was, oh, blimey, Tilly's not far from Bayo, you know. And then everything was quiet. We weren't allowed to speak or anything. And we moved into this field, and that was the creamy headquarters, you know, and we had to take our orders from them. And they kept us there that night, and we were sleeping in the trucks. And you dare, and, you know, because Tilly hadn't been taken, which was just
right
up the road.
Very
so, anyhow, the next morning they moved us back about a half a mile or so, and we took into some fields, and there were some 8th Armoured tanks, 8th Armoured Brigade tanks in there that had been knocked out and welded up, and we had to check them out and see if they were ready, could be repaired, we could repair them, or they had to go back. And of course, when we undone the seals and opened the hatches, oh, talk about stench. We took out a bloke's arm with his ring still on his finger.
And
there
were dead men or whatever inside. Mm. They hadn't opened them.
No, well, they left them sealed for us to take over and check,
right,
you see.
So you had to clean all
and
that.
We just, well, they had to go back to the beach and be evacuated back to England, I suppose. That's what they'd done. We never repaired them anyway.
Yeah.
But we couldn't. There was nothing we could do with them.
No. How many tanks were there, roughly?
Well, a fair amount. I can't remember how many.
Mm,
but then we were there for quite a while, then we never did much repairs there at all.
Mm.
Yeah.
So could you hear the battle going on?
No, we got shelled one morning, but it was not close up. It was, you could hear them bursting in the distance. You know, no, we're not near up. But in the same field as we were, in the hedge, was one of those big long tom guns, you know. Mm. It was one of the American long toms, and night times he'd start up about 11 o'clock. He'd go on all night firing. He used to shake the old apple tree we were sleeping under. And he was firing at 14 point some odd miles,
really,
away in the distance. Yeah.
So how did you get on with the Americans? You got a chance?
Oh, we never had much to do with them at
you
all.
Didn't.
No.
You didn't want to?
No. Well, we never got in contact because...
Right.
Much to talk, and we were on the looking after the British side, you see, because what they did with us when we were in Normandy, every time there was a push on, they'd move us up with the 25 pounders,
mm,
so that any tanks that got knocked out, they'd bring back to us,
right,
to check over, either repair or,
yes,
get them back loaded back to the beach.
Right.
That was our thing. We had a good job, we did well there.
Mm. He must have been working under pressure quite often.
Well,
it would be urgent, wouldn't it?
Well, not really, because we had a good system going, you know.
Mm.
Because we had an inspection department, I allocated staff sergeant and so many fitters and that to check a tank over,
mm-hmm,
and they'd give me a report as to what was wrong with it. And if there was any repairs that we could do, like bogey wheels or tracks or something like that, right, we had an ordnance depot alongside of us, mobile,
mm-hmm,
that carried all these spares.
Right.
And I'd write out a chip from my corporal, and he used to go over and get the spares. And we had these tanks all around, allocated all around the field,
uh-huh,
and a staff sergeant and so many fitters to each one. And then whatever they wanted, he'd just dump it to them, you see.
Yeah.
He was fitting on a weight truck. We had a good system going.
Yes,
there.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
And we kept, but then if a tank was well beyond repair, well, the RASC had come and take them back to the beach, you see.
What sort of faults were you finding?
Pardon?
What sort of faults were you finding?
Well, mostly tracks and bogey wheels and things like that.
Yeah.
Of course, we had a gun bloke along with us as well, you know, to check over the gun sort of thing.
Mm. These are Churchills, were they? Or?
Well, no, it wasn't. It wasn't, mostly Shermans it was.
Right.
Mm. But I did a lot of work on the Churchills when we were up at Retford.
Yeah.
That's when I did a lot of work on,
right,
changing,
yeah,
engines and clutches,
yeah,
and all sorts.
Because, uh-huh, they were quite fearsome with their flamethrowers, weren't they?
Well, I don't know. I never had anything to do with that.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't with the 1st Fighting Cavalry, you,
right,
see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know where they were or what happened about them. I was interested to find out, but
yeah.
I never did.
Yeah. Oh, yes, and they were used a lot.
They did well, I believe, yes. According to that diary. Yeah. They did well, but I mean, I didn't see them after Northampton. That yes. was I finished with them. I never saw one of them afterwards. Yeah. I did see one or two of the chaps on the Dunkirk Veterans Parade when we went over those. I saw one or two of them then out of the first five and four that I knew. Well, I knew the cap badge, you see, because I got the cap badge here.
Oh, yes, yeah.
See, I bought this in Wimborne Market.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There it is, isn't it? Yeah. Wonderful. Yeah.
It tells the history of it.
Five light horse, a four for light horse.
Yeah. Amazing, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
I bought that in Wimborne Market.
Yeah. Yeah. Excellent.
But anyway...
Did you stay in one place long?
Oh, no. Well, we stayed at that one outside of Bayo for quite a while until the next push was on. Then they moved over to St. Lo area. And then we went over there for a fair while. And then after that, we moved, right down through the village Bockage and right through into on that area right through.
So you were doing the same thing all the way.
That's
you?
Right.
Setting
yeah.
up.
Yeah. When they. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see much of the battle at all, or were you all?
No. We didn't see much of it at all. Mm.
Did you see any of the French people who lived there? Or?
Not a lot. No. Yeah. No. There weren't many there where we were anyway. Mm. Because we were in the field, you see, and outside of Bayeux there. When we were out there, we used to have to do a stand to before hour before dawn.
Oh yeah.
And an hour after sunset.
Really.
And because of the German patrols coming through.
Right.
And we used to have to do that. I mean, it was a hell of a job that was, you know. And I had to be in charge. I was in charge of the electricians and the welders, and of course they were sleeping in the back of the wagon.
Yeah.
And you go around there. And they come on out of it. And then you go on the next wagon and come on out of it.
Oh,
and the next thing, you come back and they've gone to sleep again.
You weren't very popular, were you?
Well, no, but it was a hell of a thing. I was glad when that finished because, you know.
Did you get troubled by German patrols at all?
No, we didn't. No, we didn't. No, we were lucky. Mm. I was lucky right the way through, really.
Mm. So... You went on all the way through Normandy.
Yeah, when I was just trying to think. I wish I had known you were going to do it. I said it up a bit more, but I thought it was just the first five and four when you were going to be along about, you see.
Your whole story.
Yeah, well, I didn't know that. I was trying to think where we went from... I know we went from there down to just... before the Seine, down at Vernon.
Oh, yeah.
We were up on the top, we had to change the Sherman tank engine up there, I remember that. And then after that, we were there for a whole hell of a time in this place, just this side of Vernon. And then that was up to just before the Arnhem job. And then they moved us, then they decided to move us up to just in front of the Escort Canal, which was where they were going up through to Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
And we moved, I think it was two or three days. First move we went was from Vernon up to other side of Amiens.
Uh-huh.
Because we picked up two German trucks in Normandy, and this damn thing broke down. We didn't know it until we got to the place we were staying overnight, Bapaume. That's right.
Oh yeah.
And when we got to Bapaume, they said this truck had broken down in Amiens, and would we go back and see if we could find it? Well, we went back in there, and we of course it was hopeless looking for it in Amiens because the whole other 40, what's the name, Armored Division was in there. But anyway, we decided to pack it in for the night, old Charlton, my mate and myself. We were in this Jeep we'd picked up in Normandy,
yeah.
This American Jeep, no windscreen on it.
Oh, right.
And we got there into, in front of a railway line, you know, a sunken railway line it was. And we just stemmed a fag there and smoking, and I see a Remy guard coming up the road. So I said, he come across, and I said, well, he said, oh, we got a workshop down the road. So he said, so old Charlton said, oh, I'll go down and see what's like. When he got down there, this truck was in there. And this Lance Corporal Bell. So they decided they couldn't repair it then, and we had to go back to the unit then, see the workshop captain, decide whether he was going to let the driver stay there with the wagon or go back and offload the wagon, you see. But he decided to leave. So we had to go back next morning and then tell him that he'd stay there with the wagon while they repaired it.
Right, yeah.
So anyhow, that was that job, and then we moved off from Bapaume up through Brussels. That was the next stop. We stopped outside of Brussels. We was following up the Guards Armour Division then,
right.
You see.
Uh-huh.
And we went on up through then to the next place. Oh, up to near the Escort Canal, of course.
Right, yeah.
Somewhere in just outside of Borg Leopold, up the other side of Borg Leopold.
Yeah.
And right on the Escort Canal. Well, then Horrocks come down, General Horrocks come down and told us what was happening, about the airborne was coming over, and we were going to follow 30 Corps up through the corridor, see. And of course, we were supposed to go to a place called Appledorn, which was halfway between Arnhem and the Zuider Zee. That's where our destination was. Of course, we never got there. But anyway, he said, that's it. So we were all ready to move whenever it happened,
yeah.
You know. And we watched all the airborne come over, because we were in the right position. They come straight over us and went up the corridor and dropped them all off, you know. And then, of course, nothing ever happened. Then they got short of petrol, as you know, and so they took all our vehicles that was mobile and to go back and run petrol backwards and forwards from Aramanches up through.
You ended up just sitting
we
there.
We were there for a long time then.
Yeah,
then
with nothing to do,
then,
really.
That's
yeah.
Right. Well, then the next move, we went up to Grave in Holland.
Oh, yeah.
And I went up there twice, actually, because we moved up there once, that's right, we were in Grave in the stables, in the barracks there. And then we moved back into Belgium. And then in the Reichswald Forest battle was on, one of the Churchill bridge layers had broken down.
Yeah.
And they got it back down the Grave barracks. And I had to go up there with a squad and repair this thing, and they launched the bridge and without the stabilizers on, and we sorted it all out. And that's where that Lord La France come in handy on that trip. And they come down at 3 o'clock in the morning, I remember, and took it back up into the Reichswald Forest. And
Your Ward La France?
No, took the Church of Tank. They come down and took it back in, again up in the Reichswald Forest. But
so
then,
what did the Ward La France have on it that was so useful?
Well, it's all hydraulic, you see. They just pull a lever and that was it. Whereas with the old scammy, you had to find the handle and you couldn't get the height or anything. With this thing, you'd go up and pick up any damn thing. Marvin's machine, that
was.
And, he made our workshop, and I'd say that, there's no doubt about it. We would have been down at least 50% on our output if we hadn't had that Ward La France.
Yes, yeah.
It was absolutely a marvellous machine.
Yeah. Right.
And then from there, that was down at the Grave. And then we moved across into the Reichswald Forest just before, of course, those two German towns, Gotten. Anyhow, we was in the middle of the forest there for...
What was that like?
Well, we were just sleeping in the trucks, you know.
So weather was
that was then. When they... Come on, I can't remember that. Let's look and see if I can find the name of that. The number of that towns. Self-propelled gun.
Canadian
Ram, they call it. Self-propelled gun. I think it had a 25-pounder on it. And they'd done the barrel in. We had to put a new barrel in it, I remember. And the shrapnel from this thing, when they put the shell in, they hit the breech or something, and it exploded, killed the crew. And cut right through all the wires that controlled it all. And we had a wireless officer with us at the time, and he connected up every one of those wires perfectly. Yeah. And it was really interesting. And then we went on to put a new barrel in it. And we had an old ASM armorer there, you know, the real old. Stagery was one of the old school, and when he took this barrel out, he said to me, of course they used to keep a record of all of them and stuff, you know, and he said to me, right, Ducky, because I used to see the sending them back and all that sort of thing, he'd say, now look, there's the number so and so, you must write that down, make sure that it goes through and everything, and send the old barrel back with so and so. I said, you can go to hell, mate. I said, I just dumped it in the sand and buried it. You can't do that, he said. I said, look, all I got to do is just put it, make out a chit lost through the exigencies of the campaign. God, he could have killed me. Well, nobody would have taken any notice of the blooming thing. What was that time of the war?
It's no good to anyone.
Pardon?
It's no good to anyone.
No, of course it wasn't, and they wouldn't bother to repair one of them damn things after all that time. God, he was a real old stager, though. Yeah. You know, you couldn't. But anyway. he wasn't very pleased about that, I'll tell you.
So, from the Reichswald, you went on?
Then we went up to, what was the name of the place? Not far from Belsen, Lingen.
Oh, yes.
That's right, up to Lingen. There was a railway. A depot, you know, yeah. A German railway depot. We were there, but we had to take over tanks that had been knocked out and one thing, you know, we'd check them out and see if they were repairable. If not, get them back loaded out of the way. And I mean, these tanks were hopeless, you know. There was one there where a mine had gone off under the driver and the driver's foot was still in there and things like that, you know. And it was...
So you couldn't repair many of them?
Oh, I couldn't, no. And then there was another one that, one of them Stuarts, and the bazooka hitting right in the front of the driver, and the bones were still in the driver's seat, you know, things like that. It was, and then there was a Churchill there, and he was that burnt that out. There wasn't a thing on there that was burnable. It was just a shell. You never see anything like it. And things like that, we had to take over that lot. And I remember that in that Lingen place, there was a railway engine there, stood up, and it had UK leave written on it.
British sense of humour, isn't it?
Yeah, oh, yeah, it was. And then from there, we went to Verdun. Which is being used now, because I see in the paper the other day where there's a crowd in barracks at Verdun.
Really?
Yeah. And we were there, we was there when the war finished.
Right.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And we had that was where the parade of that Remy thing that's in that in this chitin mine was.
Right. Okay.
And that was it, but at Verdun. And they had the big parade there, Remy parade.
And I'll just stop you there. Robert Lockyer, end of reel four.